Please don't push me. Please don't push me, but y'all push B. Now we got dwellers from Cali to Flatbush B. Now they got heat on their feet that say press B. And now we so deep in the streets, y'all can't stress me. Can't curse me, then bless me. I'm crucifying my flesh, that's less me. SAT'd from preaching, can't test me. Atheists are now believing, that bless me. Yeah, we got the basement replacing any of those worldly pursuits that y'all chasing. Any of those trials and tests that y'all facing. Any of the relationships that y'all changing. We rearranging, making the shame shift. Giving Satan back what's his, that's the blame shift. Rise up and walk commands, that's the lame shift. Cheat codes for living this life, that's the game shift. All on Yeshua, man, the rest is manure, man. I'm dying daily, so I rise up a purer man. Pressing B daily, so my sins looking fewer, man. Washing the blood, so my sins down the sewer, man. Yeah, so press B with me, and let's let whatever gon' be just be. Yeah, so press B with me, and let's let whatever gon' be just be. Welcome to the basement, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Tim Ross. I want to give a shout out to all of the dwellers and all of the people that have pressed B. Thank you so much for being a part of the B-Side app. Thank you also for being a part of our Discord community. I love you guys very much. Formalities are over. Listen, I'm so hyped. I'm so hyped for my guest today. She is a dear friend of mine. This woman has been one of the greatest encouragers and supporters of the ministry God has entrusted to me since we met. And she's trusted me on her platform for years. I had no idea that at some point in my life, I would have the opportunity to return the favor. And so my sister from another mister is here. She is the owner of one of the largest, if not the largest, Christian television platforms on the planet. She is also an author, a singer. She came out with a new book that we're going to talk about, Through the Storm. I want to introduce to some and present to others for the very first time on the Basement Podcast, but not the last. Joni Lamb is in the building, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go!
Woo! I'm so excited.
So happy
to be here
you're
with
here.
You. Just so honored. Thank you.
No, thank you.
I mean, you have been a blessing for so many years. I'm so proud of you to see what all God's doing.
Thank you.
And just to see how you encourage people, how you help people, and how you shine the light on so many subjects that the church won't talk about.
Thank you, Joni. Well, listen, the thing that I'm super excited about in this convo is that you wrote this book and you have done what we've asked so many people to do in the basement, and that is share the gift of their vulnerability. It's not something that we can demand. It's not something that we could ever force you to give, but you've done it like organically. You gave us the gift to see some things that we would never see unless you just wanted us to see it. And you went really deep, and you went beyond transparency. Transparency is just see-through, right? But vulnerability is when you give somebody a tour of the house.
Yeah.
And in this book, you're giving us a tour, not from the mountaintop experiences, but from the storms that you experienced in life. The first thing I want to ask is, what made you do that?
Well, you know what happened to him was when Marcus graduated, there were scads of emails and letters from people saying, how did you continue? How did you get up? How did you keep doing what you were doing? How did you keep doing table talk? How did you get up and do the live show every morning? How did you become the president of Daystar and operate in that role? And so I just thought, you know, that was the greatest storm I've ever gone through, was losing Marcus. But then there were so many storms over 40 years of ministry. And so I just thought, you know what? I'm going to share about what really happened, because there were so many narratives out there. Because by the time Marcus passed away, you know, we're a worldwide platform.
Of course.
And so you've got the, you know, secular networks that are giving their commentary on what happened. It wasn't true. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to tell the story.
Yeah.
And but then when I told that story, it's like the Lord said, you know, you need to share some of your other more private storms. Mm. And in doing so, you're going to help people. Mm. And so I just decided to share some of those stories. And like you said, be vulnerable.
Yep.
And let people know that, hey, you're either about to go in a storm, you're in the middle of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm.
Yep.
Because in life, we're going to go through storms.
That's correct.
And but the key is, who's going with you?
Mm.
And can you hold on to his hand through it?
Absolutely.
And if you can, you're going to come out on the other side better, even though right now it feels like there's no way it could be better.
Yeah.
But I found that to be true time and time and time again over the last 40 years, building a network and going through personal issues in you know, with my marriage, and then losing Marcus, and then all of a sudden becoming the head of Daystar. I never thought I would be in this seat.
Yeah, for sure.
And so just to, you know, navigate all of those things. But I think, you know, what really helped me navigate that last storm was just all the faithfulness of the previous storms. And there were a lot. And there's no one that does what we do, Tim, that don't have storms, that don't have life experiences that they can share to help people. And really, that was my motivation.
Yeah.
And so I did it, and it was just amazing how many it resonated with so many people.
All right, so you already gave me way too much right there.
Here we go.
So first of all, I'm resonating. I love the word graduation for Marcus.
Yeah.
We just celebrated my dad's life.
Right.
And I had all these words, but graduation wasn't one of them. And so I'm grateful for his graduation.
Yeah.
And
he graduated.
He did graduate.
He finished.
And he did finish. He left us with nothing left to do. Like, that was actually the eulogy for him that day was there was nothing left to do.
Yeah.
And with that graduation came more responsibility for you, though.
Mm-hmm.
And you just talked about it. I see everything in pictures, Joni. So when you said, I wanted to set the record straight on this, and then God started showing me, we'll talk about this storm as well.
Mm-hmm.
What I saw in my mind's eye was you pulling on a thread of a sweater and just thinking that was going to come off, and it just kept going around.
Yeah.
And so as you started doing this,
were
you surprised at what you recollected? Because when you, 40 years of ministry, sometimes for some people it can feel like one big storm, right? They can't remember any good days or whatever.
Yeah, I was 5 years old when I started. Not really.
You are a child prodigy. They went to kindergarten. I started ministry.
Yeah.
What were you surprised at the storms that you started to recall, and were you surprised at what you put on paper?
You know, as I begin to recount some of the early storms, like building the first Christian television station in the history of the state of Alabama, in Montgomery, Alabama.
Wow.
You think about where our nation was divided.
Yep.
And it was really hard because it's a small TV market.
Yep.
And where do you go to school to learn how to build a Christian TV station? I talk about that in the book, how we did it the wrong way, and then we did it the right way, because we started with a transmitter that was in the garbage dump.
Wow.
And people in television know, or about TV stations know, that you have to have a transmitter and a tower, an antenna, transmission line, all of that. And but we were there for 7 years, and you know, just writing about that again, and just remembering those very small beginnings and how important that was. And because a lot of people see us now, they see the Daystar Television Network goes around the world. They're like, you know, I want to do what you do. And I'm like, well, let's just trot back, you know, 40 years ago, because I always say that if I hadn't walked through Montgomery those 7 years, that I couldn't have walked into Dallas, where we eventually would end up building a station and then 110 TV stations and satellites around the world. But yeah, I mean, going back and rehearsing those stories, and just, it was like a notch in my belt with every storm.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not that I had, you know, a trillion storms and no blessing and no happiness and no joy. It was, I had much more, there were many more good things that happened than the storms, but the storms are real.
Yeah, for sure.
And the storms are where you grow. And the storms are where you learn to trust God.
That's right.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
And is that refining fire, it's that character building that takes place, you know, in the storm. So yeah, it was emotional, it was cathartic, I think, going back and writing, but especially when I got to the more recent storms, you know, it was hard. But again, I wanted to share the story. I think for me, Tim, I had to get to the place with Marcus's graduation that I understood that he had run his race. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, at first you're thinking, well, the whole world's praying for him. How could this happen? And surely God's not finished.
Right.
But I remember there was I got thousands of condolence letters, but there was a letter from a Canadian nurse. And there would be just some of those letters, you just feel like God's speaking to you through those letters.
Absolutely.
I remember she wrote and she said, I was so angry at God at why he allowed Marcus to go home. And she said, I went into my prayer closet. And she said, and I talked directly to God because that's how we talk to each other. And then she said, this is what God said to me. And it's almost like these words jumped off the page to me. And she said this. She said, God said, if I am, then you have to know he is here rejoicing with me. Mm. And nothing nor anyone could have plucked him out of my hand. And I have not left Daystar without a leader. And so it was almost like the voice of God speaking to me. There were other people that shared things, and my secretary would say, you got to read this, or you got to read this one. And it's like none of these people knew each other, and so many of them were speaking the same encouraging word to me. Yeah. And I knew it was God saying, okay, you got this, you can do this. So I had to deal with the fact that Marcus finished his race.
Yeah.
Because God's timing may not be our timing.
Absolutely.
And so to just be like, okay, he was about to celebrate 50 years of ministry.
Yeah.
And we were about to celebrate 40 years of marriage. And although I thought we had another 25 years, God said, this is his well done.
Yep.
And he had done an incredible work. He had started preaching when he was 15 years old.
Yeah.
And God had used him greatly. So I think that was the important thing for me, is to be at peace about that. Because there are people that are listening that, you know, you've lost a loved one, you've lost a spouse, you've lost a son or daughter, and you have to understand that we don't always understand. And it's okay to ask God questions.
That's right.
But I don't think it's okay to question God. Like one has this posture and one has this posture. Mm-hmm. So I came to God many times with this posture. Mm-hmm. I remember laying on the driveway. This is a good picture for you. Marcus and I would lay on the front driveway because the sun sets in the front yard. Hmm. And we'd go out on the driveway and lay and sometimes watch the sunset. He had been gone about 4 or 5 months. And I was laying there and I was just like, God, like, I'm not questioning you, but I do have a couple questions. And I said, you know, did you think about this?
Right.
And did you think about that?
Right.
It's like you're questioning the creator of the universe, right? And I remember the only thing he said to me, and he has consistently said this to me in my life, is trust me. Mm. He would just say, trust me. Mm. And I would be like, okay, all right, let's do this.
Yeah. I'm identifying with you not as a widow. Mm-hmm. My mom can identify with you now, unfortunately. But this year, in just a couple of months, my parents were to celebrate 50 years of marriage. Juliet and I were celebrating 25. Mm. Our anniversary is on May 1st. Their anniversary is on the 21st. We chose May 11th, which is conveniently landed on a Saturday for us to renew our vows together. And so there were so many things that I felt like were left undone.
Yeah.
That God was saying, no, he's done. And it's like, well, he's rude because we should have checked these boxes first.
I can't tell you how it bugs me that we didn't get to exactly to that 50 and exactly to that 40, like 39 and three quarters. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. It's like, come on. Couldn't you have stretched this out like another 120 days?
Exactly.
It's selfish and it's really real.
Yeah.
Here's what I want to ask you, because this is like, I think I'm sitting in this. I've watched you and I know you're doing this, but I haven't really sat in it and had the opportunity to talk to you about it. Mm-hmm. Marcus graduated and you got promoted. Mm. Did you see that coming?
No.
Was it instinctual? Was it like instinct to be like, well, he's gone. I must become president and I must keep this running.
You know, the interesting thing about that, Tim, is that 6 months previous to his graduating, we were sitting out on the loggia like we do on every morning with our coffee. And, I remember he said, you know, if anything were to happen to me, I want it to be clear what direction Daystar should go. He said, you would lead if anything happened to me. And he said, I'm going to go in right now and send an email to all the kids and some of the board and just let them know. That was 6 months before he passed. But yeah, to answer...
Just randomly?
Just randomly. So,
what?
But to ask, I mean, no. The answer to your question is, did I see that coming? No. Did I ever think I would be in the seat? No. Did I want to attain that? Was I looking for that? Absolutely not. But I will tell you, in the book, I talk about something that happened about 9 or 10 years ago that was really supernatural. I was fast asleep. Marcus was fast asleep. It was 3 a.m. in the morning. Mm-hmm. And loud and clear, this bass, strong voice said, Joni. And I sat up straight in the bed. I looked at Marcus. He was fast asleep. And I knew God had called my name. And I didn't know what that meant. That's all he said. But it was so clear. And I remember John Paul Jackson was the guest that day at Daystar. And I said to him, what does it mean when God calls your name twice? And he said, well, that's very significant, Joni. He said, number one, he's trying to get your attention. Mm-hmm. And number two, he's telling you to prepare yourself for what's coming. Now, that was back. But I remember when I was writing the book, I thought about that. And I can just see so many things in preparation, you know, where God was preparing me, where he was preparing Marcus. You can see that now. But at the time, I really had no idea, Tim, that I would be here.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew I'd continue to do Table Talk and, you know, oversee the music at Daystar and production and all the responsibilities that I had already my plate full.
Right.
So I couldn't imagine, you know, taking over
absolutely.
The CEO position.
Yeah. How did it feel to step into that? Did that feel like a storm? Because what a lot of people don't understand is that, like, sometimes obeying God can lead you straight into a storm.
Yeah.
Right? Paul literally got visited by an angel, and the angel told him, you're going to wind up in a storm, and the whole ship is going to wreck.
Yeah.
But all of y'all will live.
Yeah.
Like, most people would rebuke that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And so, and be like, that's not a word from the Lord. And it's like, the Lord's like, yeah, the whole ship is going to crash, but you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
Did it feel like you were putting on more weight? Did it feel like?
It did feel like I was taking on more responsibility. But I have to say that Marcus had built, he and I together, such a strong foundation with Daystar. Mm-hmm. I mean, on the business side and on the spiritual side, that, and there were so many good people in place that I wasn't fearful. I didn't feel like it was a storm. I did feel the weight of the responsibility. Mm-hmm. But I knew that if God was positioning me there, he was going to send the people that he'd already set in place around me to help me. And if there were some that weren't there, that he would be sending them. So I completely trusted in them. And Marcus made me learn every part of Daystar. Mm. I mean, from the production side to programming to the acquisition of stations. I had been with him when we were building TV stations. I mean, I knew the lingo. I knew about the FCC attorneys. I mean, We actually went through 40 lawsuits during the course of 40 years, and we won every one of them. And I mean, some of them were.
Y'all got sued annually.
Yes. It was really, I mean, so there were, random. It's not like the enemy sits there and goes, good job, Marcus and Joni, even though I'm the Prince of Power of the Air. I'm very proud of you.
Right. Exactly. He came at you every year for 40 years.
Yeah. And well, some of them were multiple in 1 year. We'd have a year off or whatever.
But yeah.
But God still was faithful through every one of those. And again, if you're going to do something in the kingdom, I mean, don't expect to not have a storm or two.
Absolutely. So when there are multiple storms, would you say that you become accustomed to them? Or are the storms so unique that it feels like the first one?
I think that every storm is unique and different based on where it's coming from. You know, there can be a storm that comes from outside your world where somebody's attacking you, whatever. But I think it's those personal storms, those that really tear at your heart, that are a little bit more difficult. But I think with each one, it's like you get a notch in your belt and you remember what God did on the previous storm.
Yep.
And you know he's going to see you through this one. You don't know how he's going to do it. His timing may not be what you want it to be. But the word should be through. You're going to go through. There are so many people right now that are in the middle of storms, whether it's a physical storm, whether it's an emotional storm, whether it's a terrible thing or circumstance that's happened to them, and they just can't see their way out. And I want to say, hey, you know, my grandpa used to tell me, now, Joni, don't ever let go of the hand of Jesus. Because you will have to be the one to let go. He will never let go of you. And all I'm saying is that's the key word there, is that you hold his hand, you let him guide you through it. It's not going to be easy, but he will take you through. There will be joy in the morning. Yeah. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come to him.
Yeah.
It will, and you know that.
Yeah, I do. I absolutely do. Can you talk about what it feels like at night, though? Like the joy coming in the morning is something that we are very, we are very much looking forward to the joy. But a lot of times we don't describe midnight.
Yeah.
We don't describe what it feels like, what it sounds like, how you act. How you look, what you said, right? We just come out on the other side and go, joy came.
Yeah.
It's morning, right?
Exactly.
But midnight is real.
It is.
Midnight is real.
Midnight was real for the loss of Marcus. You know, I remember we were standing there, and I write about this in the book, the whole thing that happened on that last day he graduated. It was... And everybody said, well, he died from COVID. No, he had type 2 diabetes. He had a pre-existing heart condition we didn't know about. He had like the hiccups for 48 hours. We would learn, this was before he got COVID. And we learned later that was the vagus nerve trying to tell us there's something going on with the heart.
Wow.
So then he got COVID and he had some breathing issues. He went into the hospital. They allowed me in the room miraculously the whole time. I couldn't leave the room, but I got to be in the room with him. And so thankful for that. So I was with him every moment. And his oxygen, that was the issue. But finally, his lungs cleared. He tested negative for COVID. He's still having breathing issues. We thought he was like coming out of it. The whole world is praying for him.
Yeah, for sure.
I had no doubt.
He was coming
out of it.
Yeah.
And I remember... Joshua Brown, my Australian son-in-law, was in the room with me. It was 4 a.m. And all of a sudden, the alarms went off on November 30th. And I jumped up. Josh and I were standing there. 10 people rushed in the room. And I remember thinking, they're going to revive him.
Yeah, for sure.
He's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20, 30, 45. They couldn't even get a pulse. Literally, his heart stopped. They call that a cardiac event. It's not heart attack. It's a cardiac event when your heart just dies. And I had interviewed so many people with near-death experience, so I'm sitting there, and I can see, and I know, like, I'm thinking, he doesn't look like he's there. It looks like a shell right now. And I'm thinking, is he going up? Is he seeing us? You know, and the whole time we're praying, believing that by some miracle, he's going to come back, but he didn't. Mm-hmm. And, I remember the kids came in. I write about all, it was just heart wrenching. You can imagine, because nobody expected Marcus to graduate. Mm-hmm. The kids said, well, I guess we're not doing a show. And I was like, yeah, we need to tell the world. Everybody's praying. Already it was just out. Yeah. Everybody was talking about it. I was getting 1,000 texts.
Yeah.
So I went and got ready, came on the show for like the first 5 minutes to tell everybody what had happened. And everybody's like, you were so brave. You were so courageous. But they didn't see me after I walked off the set and I fell into my friend's arms.
Yeah.
And, you know, and literally, Tim, I was so exhausted. I remember driving home. It was around Christmas. Everybody's decorations are up. And as I'm coming in the driveway, I'm thinking, he's not going to be here for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And like, I hated looking at those Christmas decorations. Like, I don't even want to see that. But I was so exhausted. I went home. Family's coming. But at that point, I'm by myself.
Yeah.
And I walk in the house and it felt so lonely. And I'm thinking, I didn't even realize the bigness of his personality in his life until he wasn't there. Mm-hmm. And that night, you know, I went to sleep, and for the next 6 months, I cried every night. And because people, and I talk about this in the book, you know what's coming. There's a good ending.
Yeah.
You know, God did some amazing things in my life today that I'll talk about. But I didn't know that at the time. But there are people that judged how long I grieved.
Mm.
Well, she didn't grieve long enough. Mm. Well, surely God couldn't put her heart back together. There's no way. Well, she probably would never really love Marcus. I mean, you can't believe the comments that I would read. And so for 6 months, I cried every night. I talk about it in the book. About the seventh month, because I grieved him, but I didn't grieve without hope.
That's right.
And so about the seventh month, the Lord said, okay, I need you to get your house in order. Mm. And I was like, my house in order? Are you kidding me?
Right.
And he said, no, not spiritually. He said, physically.
Mm.
He said, because I've been eating ice cream every night.
How could you not? Grief eating is real. No. We're slowing down right here.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
I gained 10 pounds as my father lost his pounds.
Yeah.
Because his decline, from the time he went into the hospital, January 7th to the time of his death, February 24th, was 7 weeks.
Yeah.
So it was a very fast decline.
Yeah.
I was eating Whataburger fried apple pies at 2 o'clock in the morning, two at a time.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was popping them like they were mints.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't think we elaborate enough on stuff like that, right? Grief is, people grieve in different ways.
Yeah.
And, I think I'm also, because you're my friend, so just give me a moment. I'm also really pissed at the people that didn't think you grieved enough.
Yeah.
When you clearly stated you cried for 6 months straight.
Yeah.
Like, 6 minutes is a long time to do something.
Yeah.
Six hours is a long time to do something.
Well, you could have done 10 years and it wouldn't have been enough for some people.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like the arbitrary thought that, first of all, what's the time? Since 6 months is too short.
Yeah.
Is it 2 years? Is it 4 years? And if you were really in touch with your grief, then it didn't need to be spread out over 2 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Because you were in it.
And it's okay if someone needs 2 years.
Absolutely.
You know,
for sure.
It's okay if someone needs a year.
Yeah.
But at about the 7 month mark, he said, you know, I want you to get your house in order. So I started eating right. I gave up sugar.
Mm-hmm.
I started going to my Pilates class and walking and swimming and the things that I knew, because he said, I've got more for you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I need you to be the best you can be.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I didn't know the supernatural doors that God was going to open on the other side of this.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the whole thing, is that some people just lay down and die in a storm and never get back up.
Yeah.
And especially, I've talked to so many widows that have said, you know, thank you for sharing that. One lady heard me talk about this, and the next morning she decided to get up, take a shower, and comb her hair for the first time in a year.
Wow.
Because she had laid down that long. And she said, but I saw that you got up, and then I realized I'm missing out on my children and my grandchildren. And they're seeing this person over here that's struggling with depression and laying in the bed with the blinds pulled.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And so, you know, I want to say, yes, you do grieve, but you don't grieve without hope.
Correct.
And then you allow God to put your heart back together again, and you continue on, because guess what? Marcus is not coming back into this space. Mm. And you know what? He wouldn't want to. Mm. And you know what? There's no one that would be happier for me now than Marcus Lamb.
Okay, calm down. Hold on, girl. Hold on. Cool off for a second.
Okay.
We do not address that enough. We always think about it from our side.
Yeah.
But tell me anyone who gets to see Jesus face to face and would trade it to come back down here.
Not happening.
I know he love you, but if he got to choose Joni or Jesus, he chunking deuces to Joni.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm just so grateful you had that perspective, because most people just only feel themselves. I lost him.
Yeah.
He's gone. He left me. What do I do? But he is in paradise.
Yeah.
The place we all want to get to.
Right. And it doesn't, my love for him doesn't dissipate because he's there. Like,
right.
I still, he was the love of my life.
Correct.
He was the father of my children.
Yep.
You know, we were in ministry together.
Yep.
But he's not coming back. And
right.
You know, this is the thing, Tim.
Wow.
I can't tell you how many times he told me, now, sweetheart, he always called me sweetheart, if I were to graduate before you, I would want you to get remarried.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, you are crazy.
Yeah.
I said, I will never submit to another man.
That's hilarious.
And I said, there's no way I would never get married.
Oh my goodness.
And but then later his words would resonate with me, and I was like, he knew me so much better than I knew myself.
Wow. I told Juliet that it is my goal. I know that my day is coming, and my name's written in the Renan books of life, and
you
it's
have
appointed
many
unto
more,
man.
You have many more years.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But I told Juliet,
yeah,
my goal is to make it to 93.
Yeah.
Just so she's too old to remarry. I'm literally just trying to live long enough, because she's so dang cute.
She is.
I'm just trying to live
she's
long enough that she can't remarry.
There are 93-year-olds
out there,
though.
So this is selfish. Like, I'm eating greens and baking stuff and not eating fried foods.
Yeah.
Not because I want to be healthy.
Right.
I just want to outlive any dude that tries to get in line for my wife.
I gotcha.
Greedy as all get out. But you did that. You accepted God's will for Marcus's life and yours. And it led to some joy.
It did. that's the best part of the book, I think. Well, the best part is for people to understand that God is going to walk you through the storm.
Yep.
He's going to be faithful. And you look at the things that you know about God, okay? You and I know he's good.
Very.
We know he's faithful.
Very.
We know that he loves us.
Very much.
And we know that we have a record with the things that he's done in our life and
facts,
the times that he's answered prayer and so on and so forth. So I would remind myself of that. But anyway, about the 7th, 8th month, God brought an incredible man into my life. He wasn't looking. I wasn't looking. And he had gone through a divorce and had worked really, really long and hard to try to make a marriage work. That didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's another whole show.
Mm-hmm.
He can tell you that story.
Yep.
But anyway, he was actually, his program was starting on Daystar.
Mm-hmm.
And because he had been a marriage counselor and had been a counselor for 35 years, and Marcus and I had actually interviewed him, but he was just a guest in and out, never like anything
except
just a guest.
Yeah.
And he was giving me a courtesy call because he said, my show's about to start on Daystar. And he said, I know that you don't know this. And he said, I want to do the right thing and let you know that I have gone through a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And first thing I said, I'm so sorry, you know, to hear that, because we're for marriage.
Yeah,
right?
For sure. Absolutely.
And he said, I didn't know if it would preclude me from coming on the network or if that would, you know, be a deterrent. And I was like, I know you're a godly man. I know you're a man of character. And over time, he said, there's, you know, I said, is there any way, you know, that could save the marriage? Obviously, he'd been trying to do that for years. And he just said, there's just a lot you don't know about to the story.
Yeah.
So we started talking, and mainly like friends, right? And but then I started getting a text, and I kind of liked seeing the text come up. And I'm thinking, "What, Lord, what are you doing?" And then,
how did that feel?
Oh, I didn't think I could feel like that again.
Because you told Marcus, you're like, I can't do it. It was inconceivable. And I think that's it's really good for us to like never say never.
Never say never. And you just, you know, we think that we know things we don't know. Okay.
Say it again, Joni.
We think we know things that we know that we don't know.
I got you.
And so I was, you know, pretty sure that I'm independent and strong and that there's just no way I would want to be married to anybody else.
Yep.
But there were several prophetic people. Hubie Sin, I remember he was one of the ones that had prophesied to Jonathan Kahn, and he said, he called me and said, the Lord's going to put your heart back together, and there's some surprises coming. Mm. Remember, Drinda Cassie was on the show with me, her and her husband, pastor, great church, and she said, the Lord spoke to me 3 days ago that he's going to bring someone in your life for you not to be afraid, to open up your heart. So there were like confirmations, you know, and I was just like, well, Lord, if you bring somebody, you're going to have to do it. Yeah. You picked Marcus.
Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
Picking.
Yeah, yeah, for
and
sure.
There's too much at stake here.
Right.
And so finally we ended up meeting, and I didn't know, like, you can talk to someone FaceTime, but you don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Until.
You don't know till you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And so we were going to just meet, and when we came together and met, we'd probably had about 60 hours of conversation.
Wow.
Because, you know, I interview people like you, so I had a lot of questions. And he's
longest pre-interview screening ever.
He's a counselor. So he had a lot of questions. But we met for that one weekend, and it was all good boundaries, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I remember, because he lives in Colorado, so I dropped him at the airport and went back home, and I got in the pool that night. It was like August, really hot here in Dallas. I was just laying in the pool in that quiet house alone.
Yeah.
And I just said, God, if this is you, I feel like it is, but I don't want to make a mistake. I think the first thing I said is, I'm your girl. Mm. I am your girl. I've always been your girl. Mm. And I need to know if this isn't you.
Yep.
I need you to show me now, because I don't need to go any further.
Yeah, for sure.
So that was on a Sunday night. And so the next morning, I tell the story in the book. I came in and doing the hair and makeup, getting ready for the live show. And my security guy comes in, Shannon Kelly, and he's never done this before. And he comes over and he says, ma'am, I had a dream about you last night. And I said, okay, tell me the dream. We have spiritual dreams. We hear them all the time, you know, no big deal. He said, well, it's private. I said, okay. And so I get up out of the chair, go into the green room. I said, tell me the dream. He said, well, in the dream, I'm walking in front of you, but you have someone beside you. And I can tell it's a man, but his face was blurred. I couldn't see his face, but y'all were laughing and you were holding hands. I knew you were together. He said, I think God's bringing a man into your life. Now, he knows, nobody knows anything about anything.
And this is the security guard.
This is security, the head of security.
Not the prophetic voice that you're about to interview.
Which brought more legitimacy to it.
Exactly. Because he ain't getting nothing.
No. And so he goes, I said, so you didn't see his face? He said, no, I didn't see his face. He said, but I heard his laugh. Mm. Well, the man that I was with has a very unusual laugh, and it would became kind of like a joke at Daystar, because it was a laugh that would continue, very deep laugh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you would think, is he ever going to stop laughing? It just kept going on and on. And so he says,
one of those laughs.
He said, when he said that, I'm thinking, oh my goodness. And so I said, so you recognize his laugh? He said, yeah. And I said, well, who was it? And he said, it was Dr. Doug Weiss.
Wow.
And I almost fainted. You know, I have the little cape on and almost fainted. But I didn't give it away.
Yeah. You were like,
I was just like, interesting.
And thanks a lot,
but inside I'm going, oh my God. And so I go back in to get the makeup on. And then Kendra is his sister, who is one of my singers.
Mm-hmm. Is Doug's sister?
No, is Shannon's.
Shannon's. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Kendra Kelly Dean. So she is the sister to Shannon.
Yep.
And she's one of my singers. She's traveled with me all over the world. So she's there later, and I pulled her aside. I said, hey, tell me, which I thought I already knew the answer. I said, tell me about Shannon. I said, you know, if he says that the Lord showed him something, like, would that be a serious, would he take that really serious? And she's like, oh, yeah. She said, he's really serious about the things that he would never say.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow. So then I found Shannon later in the day. I was like, Shannon, tell me that you're
right, exactly. Go slower this time.
Exactly.
Can you write this down? Here's a pen and a paper. Write it down.
Yeah.
Word for word.
And you'll love this part. So fast forward a couple of months, we start dating. I bring Jimmy Evans into it because he's kind of like my accountability, like my big brother.
Yep.
And I remember he said, I'm not going to give my blessing to this unless I really feel it's from God. And I said, absolutely.
Yeah, I want you to. Yeah.
And so he met with him, spent time with him. He knew who he was already, but he met him, talked with him. He came back and he said, absolutely feel good about this.
Wow.
I think you should move forward. He said, but do it slowly. So now we're like 10 months into, coming up on the year of anniversary of Marcus being gone. And I'm laying back out at the driveway again. And so this time I'm just thanking the Lord for what he's done and what he's doing, the doors he's opened at Daystar, the secular networks he's helping Table Talk get on, just like supernatural doors, which I know my late husband probably has something to do with that on the other side, bothering God, saying, you got to help her.
Right.
And, but I'm just laying there thanking God for it. And it's almost like I hear the Lord chuckle. And then I started laughing and I said, you knew all along what you were going to do because you see time past, present, and future for simultaneously.
Sure. Absolutely correct.
And so I remember he said to me, he said, Joni, I never forget obedience. And so, it was just, the whole story is just amazing because you remember when I was laying back months later feeling so sad and he just said, trust me.
Right, absolutely.
So sometimes he just wants us to trust. He knows what's ahead.
Yeah.
But can we really trust him?
Yeah, absolutely.
To bring us through to the other side because on the other side, sometimes there's some great surprises waiting.
For sure.
Yeah.
And we get to enjoy like ice cream and fried pies.
Yeah.
Until he shows us what it is, right?
It's like you stop pastoring, not really having an idea what God was going to do, but you trusting him through that process. And look what the Lord has done.
Hey, so I'm grateful you brought that up because since we're talking about timelines, right, and people's arbitrary unsolicited comments on what they think timeline should be.
Yeah.
So God
and so much more.
And so much more. So September 21 is when God told me to transition from Embassy City.
Yeah.
He showed me who the successor was in March of 22. And then it was June. No. March of 22 is when he showed me who my successor was. May is when he told me to start the pod. I'm like, I'm trying to transition your church. So like, what are you talking about? He's like, yeah, I'm gonna need you to start the pod.
Yeah.
So I start the pod in July of 22. And then he tells me in August, 22 is my last year. So from the outside looking in, it literally looks like to some people that I left the church because the podcast blew up.
Right.
But in the same way, somebody could look at your situation and because of the timeline, go, what are they doing?
Yeah.
People are so messy.
So judgmental.
They're so judgmental. It's like I can't tell you how many things I have heard over the years that people have said about others. And my response is, I don't have context. What do you think about what they did? I don't have context.
Yeah.
I can't speak to what I don't have context to. And if I just stand from where you're standing and
try to draw my conclusion, I'm probably going to get it wrong. There's one reason why Wheel of Fortune is still on. Because people, by their human nature, cannot resist trying to solve a puzzle.
Yeah.
And most of the people get it wrong.
That's right.
If it's a five-letter word and three letters are written up, they're like, fudge! And there's not even a D in it. It's like, what are you trying to say?
Yeah.
Pudge! Grudge!
Yeah.
It's in our nature to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And not have patience enough to see all the letters turned over.
Right.
What has allowed you to just rest in what you know God has for you without having to try to explain or disclaim to the rest of the world? Because I had to learn that last year. I had to learn.
You'll have to keep learning it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's going to keep happening. So just be prepared. Prepare your heart for it.
Please tell me.
And just understand one thing.
Yeah.
And that is you want to please God. Mm. I mean, at the end of the day, that is where my focus is. Yeah. I want to do what is pleasing in the sight of the Lord. If I do that, all the other things will fall into place.
Yeah.
And so does it bother me? I mean, you have to understand, I got thousands of incredible, encouraging comments. We've been praying for you. We're so happy for you.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, those people like...
Yeah, Juliet and I, super happy.
So great, right? Absolutely. But it's just that minority few that are very loud. And you can't allow that to get in your spirit. And you just have to lay that aside and say, God, you deal with them.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to love them, pray for them, God bless them, and give them a platform so they can come off of mine, because they're not doing anything and they're certainly not winning anybody to Jesus. And so, because you know what? This is the thing, Tim. You have a sensitivity that God uses on this podcast mm-hmm. that reaches people and touches their hearts. But you always have to understand, because I have some of that too, that sensitivity that God has given us, that we have to guard that against the enemy that will try to use that mm-hmm. against us.
It's so true. That is great wisdom.
So.
No, that what my big takeaway from 2023 was I have to grieve the fact that I will be misunderstood.
Mm-hmm. And Jesus was.
He was.
And he was perfect.
He was.
Yeah.
He's just so much better than me. Because I be wanting to talk back to people.
Yeah. We all go through that for sure. But you know, there are some that the Lord will speak to you about and say, hey, have a conversation.
Yes.
Probably.
And it's been a couple.
Yeah, but those will like do a complete turnaround and you're like, hey, let me just talk to you about this.
Right.
There will even be some the Lord will say, hey, I want you to respond to that. Because I look at a lot of the comments that come in because I always want to stay balanced.
Yeah.
And if there's something I'm missing, if there's something I can do better,
yeah.
I don't want to just hear everything good.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to hear what people think, how they feel, what's resonating with them and so on and so forth. And the Lord will say, hey, I want you to respond. And I'll just write something really nice. They've been really mean and I'll write something nice. Hey, I just wanted to respond personally. And this is the truth on this. And this is the truth on that. And this is the truth on the other. And just pray about it and just ask the Holy Spirit. I always say that.
Yeah.
I mean, because you know, truth will always win.
That's right.
And so, and then sometimes you'll be like, I'm so sorry. I was just mad. I didn't understand. I didn't know that.
I just had this happen last week. So, Threads is like bootleg Twitter. Is it okay to say that? I'm not sure. Yeah. So, Instagram's version of Twitter. And so, I like going there because there's no pictures and nothing's moving. And because I'm a wordsmith and I love words, I get to just live with words and read other people's. So I'm like just kind of mindlessly scrolling through.
Right, right. Can be dangerous.
Can be dangerous. And the algorithm brought me somebody that hated me. And basically were saying like, I think this dude is an apostate. Like he's into, you know, he's giving apostasy was what they said. Yeah. And because my daddy had just died, it just caught me. Like, it usually doesn't catch me, but it just caught me. And I responded to the person publicly. It wasn't like a direct message or anything, but I was like, that hurt my feelings. And usually I'm more resilient. But my daddy just died, and so you hurt my feelings.
That's right.
And I was like, I don't even, you know, I would just ask you to pray for me, right? Well, because I'm
I was going to be a homicide detective, and so that thing is that guy is still in me. I went back to their Instagram and then got ready to give them a direct message, and saw that last year they had left a voice note commending the content.
Oh.
And so I, out of curiosity, just wrote and said, "Can you tell me what changed? I would love to have a conversation with you." And I left this person my number. And I didn't know if they were going to respond or anything, but they responded. They said, "I would love to have a conversation with you." Long story short, I gained a sibling from that conversation.
Wow.
I gained a sibling.
God turned it around.
From that conversation.
Yeah.
They literally was like, "Let me tell you the heart space I was in."
Yeah.
"I really shouldn't have said that because I don't know you."
And usually there is something there. There's a root of something, and
that's
you
right.
hit a little trigger, and it's not even about you.
That's right. And so at the end of our conversation, I was like, "Can I clone you? Because can you like go be an evangelist on how to like directly go to your brother and sister when you have an offense against them or when they trigger you or whatever?"
Yeah, yeah.
And so that was a sweet moment. I wish everyone was like that. They're not, but it would be awesome.
They're not, and it's okay.
It is okay.
It's
that
okay.
part.
It's
it
okay.
is okay.
It's okay.
Yep.
And when you understand that, and you, if you really allow the love of God to flow through you in the way that He wants to, and you get that by spending time with Him and having a personal relationship with Him, if you really allow that love to resonate in your heart, in your mind, in your soul, you'll be able to slough it off.
Yeah.
I mean, you're like, "You know what? God bless them."
Yeah.
Because it feels so much better.
It does.
Because I've done it both ways.
Yeah.
Like I have responded and been ugly.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, "We'll turn off the TV and never watch again."
There's too many channels for you to be this bothered by me.
Yeah. And then the other times when I'm kind.
I love both. You do know I love both of these Jonies,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, both of these Jonies. And one's the flash one. But you feel so much better. And usually if you go on to being that rude, mean person and mirror what they're doing to you, you have to go back and apologize for it. And that is the worst.
Yeah, absolutely
right?
correct. Oh, absolutely so, correct.
I mean, in that scripture, "To whom much is given, much is required."
It really is.
You have been given a lot of knowledge and understanding about the Word of God. So you can't get by with some of that.
So I told Juliet that today. I said, if I were to respond the way my flesh wants to, it would be overt sin.
Right, because your mouth is a gift.
It is.
So you take that and put it in the enemy camp, you're brutal. I mean, you could destroy people with what God meant to be a blessing.
Amen, sister. I just want to make it known.
And I could too. That's why I got saved when I was 6. The Lord had to get me early.
Well, I'll preface my statement so nobody thinks that I'm trying to glory in anything sinful. Paul says, "Let me talk as a fool for a moment so that you understand." Mm-hmm. "I understand I can't do this, but I just kind of want to let you know. If I did want to boast, I would not be arrogant because I'm telling the truth," right?
Right.
My tongue before I gave my life to Jesus could render you impotent.
Helpless.
Helpless.
Yeah.
Destroyed. And maimed.
Of course.
I used to be a battle rapper, and so I prided myself on that.
Between your tongue and your quick mind.
It's over.
It's a combination.
It's over.
Yeah.
You're going to be in counseling for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So I realized that stewardship is being quick to forgive, number one. And the other thing I've learned from Yeshua is what He said while being crucified on the cross. Forgive them. And we tell people to forgive.
Yeah.
But then the context of saying, "For they know not what they do. And so I have to, the gift that I feel like I give people, instead of giving them these sharp words that sometimes I do want to give, is I forgive you because I know you don't know what you're doing. I know for a fact you didn't wake up in the morning and go, "I want to maliciously attack Tim Ross."
Well, and you don't
and
know
tear
my
him
heart.
Down. Yeah, you don't know my heart.
Because we don't know anybody's heart. That's why He told us not
I
to
I don't
judge.
Know my heart. I don't know my own
but
heart.
But God knows your heart.
That's right.
And God knows my heart.
Yeah.
And when we judge somebody else's heart, no matter how bad the behavior is, it's a sin.
It is.
I mean, it is a sin to judge.
It is. Absolutely
correct. Like, we don't talk about that enough.
That's right.
I mean, in that, I'm just not going to do it. And if there's somebody I don't agree with, you know, I'm just going to pray for them.
That's right.
You know?
That's
what
we should
do. And I'm not going to judge because I don't know what they've been through.
For sure.
And usually there's a story.
Absolutely. Well, that level of empathy helps me a lot. As we close, give me the one reason why someone should pick up this book. I know there's 13 reasons, mm-hmm. 15 reasons, 30 reasons, but the elevator pitch for this book and the reason why you want it in their hands.
You know, it's like I said earlier, everyone listening, everyone watching is going to go through a trial, a temptation, a storm mm-hmm. in life. Mm-hmm. And there have been a lot of people that have fainted along the way. They look at us and they say, oh, those people have never endured anything.
Right.
And so I just want to, because of the platform that God's given me, I want to take a moment and say, hey, this is what I went through.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't easy.
Yep.
But God was faithful.
Yep.
And guess what? God is no respecter of persons.
That's right.
And he's going to be faithful to you. So hang in there.
Yeah.
And come through it.
Yeah.
Don't stay in the middle of it. Come through it.
Absolutely.
And let him lead you to the other side. And it's going to be amazing what happens on the other side.
Joni, thank you so much for being a successful public person who decided to give us some private parts of your life.
Thank you.
We will be forever changed as a result. I love you so much, sister.
I love you, too. I'm so proud of you.
I'm so happy we got to do this.
And so honored to be here. And my favorite thing is when you go up in the high voice.
Well, that means I'm happy.
I know.
That's what it means.
I love it.
All right, everybody. Thank y'all so much for joining us. Thank you so much. Please pick up this book. It is going to bless your life. There's nothing you can do about it. You're going to go through a storm.
That's right.
It is not a prophetic destructive word. It's a life word. There's a storm coming. There's a storm you're already going through, or there's one on the way. And it could be emotional, relational, financial, spiritual. But it's going to happen. Mental.
But God.
But God. But God. He is faithful to carry us through every storm. I love you guys, and until next time, peace.
Yeah, so press B with me, and let's let whatever gon' be just be. Yeah, so press B with me, and let's let whatever gon' be just be.